Back to the conversation in just a second. Everybody is talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean. And the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com. and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. That's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com. Now back to the conversation. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the crying always came from the same bedroom. Soft at first, then unmistakable, even after the roommate moved out. She kept hearing it coming from the empty room across the hall.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is, and yes, we'd love to hear your ghost stories. 855-853-4802 is the phone number to do just that and share your real ghost stories with us. You ever have that where you have a room where the door is closed? You know there's nobody else in the house and you hear a noise coming from it? And you're like, what the hell is that? And you know where the pets are and they're not in there.
I have to say that I've never had that happen.
No.
I've had situations where like a door that's always open, close, but I've never had like noises. Occasionally in this house, I'll be watching TV and I'll hear something out in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'll just, you know, say, it's probably just a mouse or something, which nobody wants in their house either. But
yeah,
I've not had that experience. Thank God.
I've had it, but it's always been explainable. But it like if for a moment you're like, what the hell was that? I actually had it just the other week. There's a bedroom upstairs, just had it painted. And they the door is shut. Nobody's been going in or out of there. Animals don't go in or out of there. And I'm walking down the hall, and it's not like I don't hang out in this hallway like at all. It's like I just kind of walk through it. So the sheer odds that I'm like there when this happens are pretty like low.
Right.
But anyway, or maybe me walking down the hall for some reason gave this enough oomph to do what it was going to do. But all of a sudden I hear a thud, like a metal, like in that room. And I'm in the house by myself during the day. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, I'm thinking like, is somebody like in my house or,
right,
you know, but what happened was it was the ceiling vent. When they painted, he didn't attach it because it was still drying, and I remembered seeing it that way, but I had never gotten a ladder up there to fix it. And it had simply fallen. But it's, you know, it makes a bit of a rattle when it hits hard surfaces and things, right, and bounces off like the side of the bed and then hits the floor. And it's like, you know, but.
So that scared the shit out of you?
For a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I was
minute,
like.
A minute or several minutes?
It took me a second because I'm like, what the hell was that? And then I'm just like registering the sound. I'm like, it sounded like the vent. And I'm like, the vent. And I'm like, oh, fuck that vent. And then I look immediately, I'm looking up and yeah, it's the vent's not there. So
gotcha.
But the vent was not on the ground. That was the weird part. It was nowhere to be found. I'm kidding in that part.
Yeah. It's in another room.
It's in the other room.
Yes. And there's sushi on it. It's really weird. A ghost that makes sushi. It's, you know, the skills, they're getting more skilled as time goes on. I think that's great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, my name is Maggie, and I've called in before sharing stories from when I was younger. I've always had an ability to kind of make contact with spirits, and I've seen some things as a child. And I wanted to share something that happened to me when I was in college. So I am 46. This was probably about 20 something years ago. And I was going to Humboldt State University in California. And I was living off campus with a roommate. And this roommate had a boyfriend that lived far away. They had a long distance relationship. And they fought a lot. Many nights I would be in my room and I'd hear her arguing with him or crying. And so one night I was in bed and I woke up to hear her crying. And she was across, her room was across the hallway from me, but we had very thin walls. And so, you know, I hear her crying and I, you know, roll over and go back to sleep. And the next day, I see her and I asked her if she was okay. And she said, yes, I'm fine. Why do you ask? And so I tell her that I heard her crying the night before. And so I thought, you know, she was arguing with her boyfriend. And she told me that she had not talked to him that night and had just gone to sleep. And that was really unsettling for me because, yes, in the past I've had experiences with spirits, but never anything auditory. I had seen a couple things as a child, but never, you know, as a child, it feels more scary. Over the years, I've kind of learned to kind of block some of this stuff. But yeah, this was very clear. I could hear a woman crying. And then fast forward to a few months later, she moves out. But there were still a couple times where I heard crying in that room. And so I kind of sat with it and felt into the energy. It didn't feel scary. And what I felt was like a sad presence. So like I ended up actually naming her sad lady ghost. And just kind of would, yeah, sporadically hear it. I ended up moving out of the place. It was a two-bedroom, and I couldn't afford it on my own. And fast forward again to me moving to the Bay Area in California, and I was going to share a two-bedroom with a girlfriend of mine. And when we moved in together, I told her, hey, there's a sad lady ghost that might have followed me from Humboldt. I'm not sure. And I just wanted to give her a heads up because I kind of felt that presence randomly, even outside of my home in Humboldt. But again, it never felt anything so, like, it didn't feel threatening. It didn't feel strong enough to really actively bother me. And so when we moved in together, I ended up clearing my room. I told Sad Lady Ghost, if you are here, you are not welcome in my room. And I believe in the power of our words. And so my friend, who was my roommate that I warned her about Sad Ghost Lady, did not believe me. She kind of just chuckled and said, okay, you know, whatever, Maggie. And, you know, so she kind of brushed it off. And again, I had told Sad Ghost Lady not to go into my room. One night, I guess this is now happening from my friend's perspective. I guess one night my friend, she didn't have a full bed yet. She had just the mattress. And so she's sleeping. She fell asleep and she woke up and she saw me standing in the room. And she says, Maggie, what do you want? Like, it's late. And she kind of adjusts herself and sees me leave. So she gets up. And our apartment was very small. So literally right across, our doors are probably 6 feet, 5 feet from each other. And she walks out of the room and she sees me in my room fast asleep. And that's when she became a believer. And that's when we saged the entire house. And I asked sad ghost lady to leave my presence, to leave the house and go find their peace elsewhere.
The story of sad ghost lady. Ooh. Thank you for sharing that. Thoughts there?
I don't know. It's creepy. And the only thing that comes to mind is this whole saging your house kind of thing. Mm-hmm. My sister did that once and she didn't realize you didn't have to burn like the whole bundle of sage.
Yeah. like she thought you got to like burn it out like a cigar, like, or something.
Pretty much. So like the entire, like she opened a window and all this smoke is just pouring out. And if so you've ever
hotboxed the
yes, she hotboxed the ghost. And it just, you know, that stuff stinks pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had a hard time getting that out of her house afterward. I'm like, Vicky, just a little bit does everything.
Yeah, I was like, I almost want the ghost, like, Brian, come back. Just get rid of the smell. Come back. Spawns of Satan, whatever it takes to get the smell out.
My God. Yeah, that's exactly what she did. She hotboxed the ghost.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Although I have to say, I think afterwards she had less stuff going on in her house than she did before.
I laugh, but I don't know. Who knows? I mean, maybe the more gasoline you pour on that fire, the more you'll. I don't know. Maybe in theory. Is it just a suggestion or is it, you know, like a fire hose, you know?
Yeah. God dang it.
You know, I think it's something I might do intentionally. Like if it was like something that was really fucked up, you know, I tend to like overdo things. So like if I had a room I knew that was like haunted or something, or even just a little bit, I probably would hotbox the room with sage and, you know, put on, you know, like 24 hour, like I don't
know, like some Lord's Prayer on the wall and stuff. Yeah.
It's like, we're going to like get anything that's in here out. And I treat it like the exterminator people, you know, there's a fucking business.
Is it? Is it crazy?
Where you do it, where you treat it like you treat it like it's paranormal extermination, but yeah. It's as commercial feeling as the people that tent houses,
trucks, baseball caps with the logo on it.
Yep. Except you do this one.
We're a para exterminator.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there the T is an inverted cross.
I love that.
Yeah, there you go.
Get a fleet of like 5 or 6 trucks. Start small. Yeah. 5 or 6 trucks.
Bunch of like, you know, high school kids that you had to drag out of their parents' basement to get a job. And then they're just like, you know, like, hi, I'm here to do the exorcism. And then like reading off his phone. So I can't do Latin, guys. Can we do Latin? And then they just like, you know, press the button on the phone and then the phone's reading it in Latin and they're just walking around while they're playing Angry Birds.
They have to go through some sort of training process, but when they're done, they get their Bible, their holy water, their crucifix, and also a sage bundle or something like that.
And then a class picture and a free personal pan pizza at Pizza Hut and a 2-leg and thigh chicken dinner from Pa's Grocery Express as an extra thank you. See,
now that would make for a really good sitcom. Not long lived, like not an 8-year sitcom. I'm talking like 2 or 3 seasons.
What?
This concept of the paranormal exterminators.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we can make it an AI.
Kind of like The Office, but just run it, you know.
Yeah.
This group of people that go out. And it's a big scam. Everybody knows it's a scam, but.
Yeah, but people still do it because they want the peace of mind. And you got like there's this, you got real aggressive salespeople that can sell it pretty good.
That's right.
You
know, that's right.
At the front end. But then once it's sold, it's like, it's all the lackeys that are showing up. You get, and maybe there's like one or there's like some folks that like, maybe there's one or two that were really like big in it once. Like one was like once like a mega church preacher or something, or like, or like the assistant to a mega church preacher and is still kind of reveling in that. Oh my God, this could be a great show.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm telling you.
The ideas that come off of this program.
They go to trade shows and shit like that for exterminators and stuff, and they got their little booth with their roll-up banners and all that kind of stuff.
I love this idea. That would be hilarious.
They go to high school
career day.
Career day. Trying to recruit more lackeys. I come up with some of the best shit when I talk to you.
That'd be great. You can probably make this on AI right now, yeah, honestly.
I'm like, sure.
I'm thinking if I have an extra 8 hours or so, I would. Yeah. Yeah, this would be funny. That's a funny concept. they all wear the outfit is the, they have the little, the priest thing, the collar yeah, going yeah. on. Yeah. With a logo, but there's a logo on it. That'd be interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do another ghost story caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
I'm a fairly new listener, but I had a few stories that I thought might be fun to share with you guys. This one happened, it started about 2 years ago. I moved into a townhouse with my fiance and his daughter, and it had belonged to his father, who was still alive. He didn't die in the house, and he actually was the one who built it. So nobody had passed away in the house or anything like that. But it just got too big for just his dad. And so we moved into it and took it over. And we had lived together for a while, but not on our own. We lived with his mother. And when we moved into the townhouse, a few strange things started happening. And at first it was just little things like we had a trash can where you had to press the pedal to make the lid pop up. And it could be difficult to close the lid, but once you had it closed, it was closed. And it would just randomly pop open. And we wouldn't have been using the trash can recently or anything like that. And it would just do it all by itself. And we just thought it was because it was, you know, a cheap trash can. But then we started hearing creaking to the point where we would hear footsteps coming up the stairs that sounded so much like an intruder that my fiance grabbed his knife and went hunting through the house because he thought someone was there. There was times when I would be home alone and we have a dog and we would be in our bedroom and the dog would just start growling at the door and the door was closed, but I would go and I'd sit and wait for him to stop growling because there was no way I was going to open the door. Then it got to the point where there was one time when I was home alone like that. And again, Bunker started growling at the door and then there was pounding on the door, like someone was actually in the house. So that time I grabbed the knife and I whipped open the door and there was no one there. And I went through the house and still nobody, the garage door was shut. Both doors downstairs were locked and closed. And so that was really strange. Then it got to the point where his daughter started hearing things and seeing things at night. And it didn't scare her the way it scared us. There would be nights when she would wake up and say, did you close my door last night? Because we would leave it open for her. And we'd say, no. And she'd go, well, someone opened it and then closed it again. And then other times she said that she saw a shadow walking out of her closet and out into the hallway. Again, it never scared her. We asked if she was scared and she was like, no, it's fine. But it started bothering me a little bit that it was waking her up. So I actually talked to his mom, my fiance's mom, and she talked to one of her friends who is a little bit more sensitive. And she said that she actually did a little bit of research and went off of what she was feeling. And she got the feeling that it was kind of a guardian spirit that was part of their family because of their German descent, and that it wasn't happy because I was there. And it was trying to scare me off to see if I would stick around. So I kept that in mind and we just kind of relaxed and Emma started talking to things that weren't there. And so that was kind of odd. But I had my last straw when I was home one evening by myself. I was actually cooking dinner to bring to my fiance. And there's a light that sits in a little plastic case above our kitchen sink. And it's like a black plastic ring. And then there's a rounded glass lens. And then the light bulb underneath that. And I was cooking at the stove, which is a good 5-6 feet away from the sink. And my back is to the kitchen, and I'm just cooking and listening to the TV. And all of a sudden, I hear a bang, and then I feel something hit me in the back. And when I turn around to see what happened, the plastic ring has fallen off of the light, and it fell straight down into the sink. But the glass lens flew that 6 feet and hit me in the back. And that was when I had my last straw, because if it's going to start throwing things at us, that's not acceptable. So I turned around and I'm in my, you know, I'm on the first floor, and I turn around and I go, look, I don't know what you are. I don't know if you're bad. I don't know if you're good. But I'm going to tell you right now that I am part of this family. I am here to stay, and you're not going to scare me off. If you're something bad, I will get rid of you. And if you're something good, you are welcome to stick around. But you need to know the rules of this house. There are no throwing things. There is no stomping in the middle of the night. You leave us alone and you play nice. I just went off and ranted at this thing forever and threatened it if it was something that was trying to hurt us. And from then on, nothing has happened. Occasionally, the trash can lid will pop again, but that stopped for a while. And so occasionally that'll happen. Sometimes we'll hear a creak here and there. But I think that's more of just kind of a reminder that it's still there and it's still watching over us. But I think it's kind of accepted the fact that I'm part of the family now. And so I wanted to share that with you and see what you guys thought. And thanks for everything you're doing.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. Thoughts on that?
Always the first line of defense is to tell whatever's there how you feel and what the rules are, and that you own the space and they're not allowed to do certain things. And sometimes it really does work from the stories I've heard. I've never had to do that, but.
Well, you know, it's like, here's what's silly about it is, you know, we were talking on another episode about how if you are haunting a place, just how monotonous it must get. It's like where you become basically the tiger in the cage, right, to everybody that comes by. But when the person reaches out to you on that level, like, look, hey, this is going on, like recognizing your existence and respecting it and back and forth, that's a very different type of communication than if you're here, turn on the lights, you know, or whatever. Yeah, it might right. be. Like, it's like, hey, I don't need you to even prove to me you're here. I know you're here. Can we just figure this out? Like, sure. Nobody's asking me like that.
it's basically like how you would deal with somebody that maybe you were rubbed the wrong way with in real life, right? You'd probably sit them down and go, listen, I'm not a big fan of you, but we've got to work together. So can we do this or that or whatever? Yeah. Like it's do that to a normal person. Do that to the spirit, the ghost, and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basic communication, you know, because we don't communicate with each, like Todd, touch your microphone right. If I can, you know, it's like we're going back and forth, and that's people respond to that. So if in fact that is the person on the other side, they're going to respond to being talked to like a person on the other side.
Yeah, so but it's making you jump through hoops every 2 minutes to prove that you're there or that
exactly.
You're, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a lot to do with it. I don't know.
Good point.
I
mean,
yeah. But yeah, I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I would jump through hoops for a little bit if I were a ghost. You know, maybe the first couple times it'd be kind of fun to like fuck with the lights or something. But
sure.
After that, I don't think I'd be like doing like what they'd be asking me to do. It'd be like, oh, and nothing happened. Then everybody gets to leave and nobody's car starts. It's like, oh, and I sucked that battery dry, bitch.
Dang.
You know, and then suddenly, can you imagine the amount of energy? Here's an interesting thought. I, you know, because it's always like, well, do they get their energy from our, you know, if they're getting energy from our old, you know, Duracell batteries, can you imagine the amount of energy they could get off of one of these fuckers?
Hell yeah. Right.
Like, exactly. I'm wondering, does that, is that a thing in the ghost hunting community of the level of battery that now exists out there for a ghost to pull from? Are they getting better results because of said, you know, cell of battery that's available? I don't know.
Well, I will say that a lot of groups have started to use Tesla coils and stuff like that to ramp up the energy and stuff like that in the locations they're investigating. Now, whether or not that has always worked or it works or not, I'm not necessarily sure. But I've seen plenty of groups that use those to ramp up the electricity in the room.
Now, Tesla coils, are they getting like the ones of like we'd get at like Coach House gifts, you know, where you put your hand on it and then your hair would, you know, stand on
that,
it. And
that little ball, right?
Yeah.
In the mall. And
that's
you'd have
a
to
Tesla
go in.
Coil.
Yeah. You'd have to go in and you'd have to touch it every damn time you went by it.
And the thing would follow you around. Yeah. And I think like if you were to break that, it could kill you pretty easily.
Really?
The amount of any electricity. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I had thought might have been a tall tale told to me by my mother.
Just so that she wouldn't get you one. Mom, I want one of those. No, no, son. If they break, you'll get electrocuted.
That could kill you. Yeah. You know, I never heard of any stories of children being massacred by the toy they got at the arcade for 25 tickets.
Right.
So maybe it couldn't. I don't know. But it's, I always thought like, oh, that'll... See, the more you know, the more you know. I'm learning these things. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. I'm not saying kids don't go try that at home.
No, but, no.
I don't know. I thought that could. I'm going to have to learn this right now.
Okay, look it up.
Where is the. Let's do this here. And then we'll all learn together. All right. Okay, fill me in on this. If one of those, how would you describe that thing? That is a electric balls that have the static electricity where you put your hand on it and it looks like the electric wave follows your finger ball that you can get at pretty much a toy store. If one of those were to break, could that be dangerous?
The thing you're thinking of is called a plasma ball.
Plasma
ball. They use high voltage. Yeah, that's the one. Plasma balls are basically low power Tesla coils in a glass sphere. Cool to watch, safe to touch, and if one shatters, just the broken glass is the real hazard, not the electricity.
What would happen with the electricity? What would it just not work anymore?
It just stopped working. The high voltage needs the sealed glass sphere to ionize the gas inside. Once it's broken,
it's
the circuit
gas.
Can't complete.
Okay. All right.
Another lie.
The gas
that
is usually neon, argon, or a mix of both. At low pressure, sealed.
All right. We're going to call Peggy right now. You're on the air again, Mom.
Another
caught
lie.
Caught you in another lie.
Yeah.
Ruined my life over the... what was it called? The ball?
It's plasma ball.
Yeah. I know the shit you tell your kids.
It's kind of like you'll shoot your eye out with a BB gun.
Yeah,
it was the
it really
same freaking thing. Yeah.
It's right up there. It's right around there. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess I didn't realize that that's how that worked. There you go.
Me either.
I still wouldn't drop one in a bathtub with me or anything like that.
No,
I think.
No.
Yeah. You got to use a toaster for that. I'm kidding. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us. And if you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that stuff, check it out on Apple Podcasts or Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online. All right, that's that. Until next time, for Todd and for Carol, I am Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.